Back, bitches.
Fuck yeah, we are. So you got beat up. I got beat up by life, both of us. And there were probably a lot of people sitting around thinking that was like karma.
Yeah, probably, I'm sure.
For some of the stuff we busted out over the last year or so.
They're probably like, okay, now is the time that we can do all the things.
Right?
Because like, they're not watching.
I know. I kind of wondered. I'm like, is this going to be the time when like that road gets given to the church or like the things that, you know, that we've always kind of kept an eye on?
Believe
like,
it or not, there were some things.
Were there some
things? Yeah, the city redid some drainage in that area. As a prep for the downtown underground work that they're doing, but yet they haven't started on the underground work. Sorry, this was a total aside, but it just made me think of when you said, you know, the road. They didn't get the road, but they
I thought you were like going to tell me that. I'm like, how did you just wake up now to bring this up? Then you know this is like a thing for me. So, well, I'm super glad to be back here doing this with you. We have a very exciting show scheduled for next week.
Yes, huge announcement.
We decided to come back and do just kind of the regular boring me and you this week, which, I mean, we're fun. We're not that boring.
I don't think we're boring.
I'm fun.
Yes, definitely. Of the two of us, I'm and probably the more boring.
You're nice. I'm fun. And, but next week on March 8th, we will have Dr. Mark Gocher here with us for a live interview and Q&A to talk about all the things. I mean, there's so many things to discuss, and we're very excited to have him. We have some very special sponsors for that episode that we'll be announcing and sharing more information on that. But y'all be ready to tune in next week because it is going to be a great sit down with Dr. Mark Gocher.
Yes, I'm super excited to get to see him and talk to him. I mean, I've talked to him and we've talked to him several times since the whole, you know, ordeal with the Russellville School District. He's now got a new job. We're going to talk about all of that, all of the specifics. I'm sure there are some things that he won't be able to say, which we will ask the questions.
I'm going to ask him anyway.
But like, you know, we're not going to press him on and get him in trouble or anything like that. So we are excited for him to be on. So next week, March 8th,
at 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock, we will have Dr. Gocher at Sass and the Beard Studios.
Yes, I'm very, very excited. And I'm hoping that between you and him, one of y'all is going to announce that you're running for mayor. That's what I'm hoping is going to happen at this interview next week. That's my main goal, is which one of you are planning to run for mayor?
People have asked me about that recently. And I have continually denied that it is that I'm even considering it. So,
well, I'm going to sign you up whether you like it or not. Just get the petition. We'll get the signatures. We got this. We'll just be like, come on, Nathan, we got to go to the courthouse for something real quick. But we did get information, candidate filing, not for city council or the mayor's race, did take place over the last week. Now the city council and Russellville mayor's race, they'll file like in, I think it's in July. So they're not up yet, but all the JP seats are up for re-election. I talked to the school board president, Jason Golden, earlier. He let me know that based on the legal advice they've received, only two of their positions are going to be up for re-election. So we have all that information to share.
Yes.
And we will.
We have a lot of information about candidate filings for the county and really right now the county and then the state races. Is school board yet as well?
School board's on there. School board's on there. Now the state races aren't listed on that list because that's from the county clerk and the state races get filed.
Right. And if we also want to say, if you are running for office and you would like to be on our show, you can, with campaign funds, pay us to be promoted on the show. And we will ask you hard questions and we will, get your opinion out there to the folks.
And then as we get closer to the election, regardless of it,
yeah, anybody whether you pay us or not,
like, yeah, we'll do some very free, like just, you know, information on every race.
We will definitely do a profile on you.
On every candidate, not just the ones who may want to promote themselves.
There will definitely be profiles built upon with you guys. So some of the candidates we have here, obviously Ben Cross and Joe Pearson. So that's the county judge race. Joe Pearson originally declared to run for state senate, right?
Yep.
And then decided that he didn't want to do that, which I think was a smart decision. We got county clerk is unopposed.
A lot of those races are unopposed.
There's a lot of these, like assessor, collector, the coroner, like those are mostly unopposed. So in JP District 1 is Philip Haney and Paul Brixey. That's in sort of the Atkins area. District 2, there are 4 candidates. Margaret Motley, Karen Carruthers, Robert Alexander, and then Jennifer Sloan, who is the current JP in that area. JP District 3 is Tim Wittenberg and Joseph Simmons. JP District 4, Ronnie Wilbanks and Jason Muncy, who is the incumbent there. JP 5, Jackie Heflin, who is the incumbent, and then Billy K. Kidd. I wonder, surely is that his given name? That's pretty awesome. In JP District 6, that's Jamie Jackson's district. He's running unopposed. JP District 7, we have Roy Reeves and Blake Tarpley. Blake Tarpley was on the quorum court, and he's running against a current JP for that district, Roy Reeves. District 8 is unopposed, Aaron Carruthers. JP District 9, we have another female candidate, Dawn J. Brownfield, who is running against JP Bill Sparks. I'm actually surprised to see him running again there.
He served on the quorum court
for a long time. There were some rumors that he was going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
In District 10, you have Alan George and candidate Leslie Moore. District 11, J.P. Lane Scott versus Charlie Falwell. That was 11, right? Yeah. District 12, Jordan Sowers and Don Daly, because that seat is going to be vacated by one of the candidates.
I believe Doug Skelton's seat.
And then in District 13, you have Michael Ford running against David Ivey, who is the current JP there. So.
Yeah, so we have 2 seats that no incumbent was running. That was where Joe Pearson had changed over to the county judge race, and then J.P. Doug Skelton is running for state representative in the race. It's also with Matt Duffield and
David Howe.
David Howe, mm-hmm. Yes. And that race is for state rep. That's for the seat that Dr. Joe Cloud is vacating. Mm-hmm. He's not running again for that position. And then for the state Senate race, Senator Breanne Davis is the incumbent, and City Council Member Rick Harrell is also running for that seat. So those were the 2 local state rep and state Senate races. And now we're in the same state Senate district.
We are.
I know, we haven't been, but I'm over in Dardanelle and you're in Russellville, and now we're all in one state Senate district.
That's weird.
It is not.
Yeah. I don't know, like, because
I made public comments supporting it.
You did, because that's what you wanted to do. I know. But I think maybe it will be a good thing. I don't know if that race is going to be very competitive. We will see. But hopefully, you know, there's a lot of races out there, and we will keep you informed about all the different candidates and how their races are going. So it's you can't run file to run for school board anymore.
No, that's okay. That's done. Yeah. All of the filing closed at noon today. It's a 1 week period that opened noon last Tuesday and goes to noon today. So, you know, it's interesting to see that there were so many that filed in a couple of those, you know, that people filed a couple of those races, but, you know, majority of the like county offices, the county clerk, the, you know, assessor, things like that, those are not, they're not being challenged. It's just the incumbent running again, I think, in most of those races. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. I heard that, Judge Ben Cross had a very successful campaign kickoff and raised a very large amount of money at that event.
David Howell had a big event this last weekend.
I know Senator Davis had one that had to be rescheduled because of the snow and ice apocalypse that we had twice now.
Right. And Charity Ball was this last weekend, and that seemed in a lot of ways to be similar to a campaign event because there were quite a few local politicians and you know, influential people in the community.
And by influential people, he means him and his wife. They were there.
Yes, we were there. Less influential than some of the folks there in town, for sure. And more, my wife is way more influential than I am because people love her. And
can't blame them.
And
she looked amazing. Her dress. Amanda, your dress was so pretty.
My daughter was like, Mom, you look like Elsa.
She looked like a princess. It was amazing. I was in my pajamas.
Well, you know.
That's how influential I am.
If it would have been up to me, that's probably where I would have been. So
while we were out, there was stuff that went on. Like city council had meetings, Fort Court had meetings. There's been a lot of, you know, just kind of like the regular business of the city and county that's been happening.
There wasn't a whole lot of like stuff to get real pissed off about.
Right. Or if there was, I was like, we were too incapacitated.
Yeah, I mean, like Christmas, there was Christmas, and like then COVID, like people, there was a lot
of. Everybody got COVID.
We got snowed in. There just wasn't a whole lot.
There was some activity around the casino, though.
Yes.
There was a lot of activity, actually, around the casino. We did an update, I don't know, maybe a week or two ago about the Fair Play for Arkansas group, who announced that they had received funding from Choctaw Casino partners for $125,000 to help with their campaign to remove Pope County from Amendment 100 that authorized gaming here.
Okay, but I want to ask a question about that before, and this is to everybody in the comments as well. Like, okay, so whenever that was posted, whenever it came out, it seemed like, especially online, there was a ton of like, you know, they are taking support from a casino. It's hypocritical. I don't necessarily have that same point of view. Like, in a lot of ways, I'm kind of on the fence about get the money where you can get the money from, because it takes a lot of money to do this stuff. Because ultimately, like, I am my own person and I'm going to make my own decisions. And if you don't like that, don't give me the money. And that's a situation where enemy of my enemy is my friend. And we see those kind of things happen all the time with, you know, alcohol, medical marijuana, like those issues that say are moral issues. You may see other moneyed interests that are involved in that same issue somewhere else, pouring money into a community to keep that out of there so that they can keep their money. And then the church or a group that's against it for moral issues is like, yeah, we don't want it here either. So we'll take that money.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Like, that's the way that those things happen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, campaign finance is yucky in general.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? If you really look at, I love looking at campaign finance reports because it tells you a lot about a candidate and who's going to be pulling their strings. And,
right.
and who's influencing the decisions that are made by their campaign, in this case not a candidate, but by the ballot question committee. And you know, it looks like what they had done is they had they've received $125,000, and how they reported it was as going for legal fees. Now, the legal fees, I think, were to have the language rewritten for the constitutional amendment that they're proposing that would remove Polk County.
Right.
Because they had some language in there that was very obviously likely to be thrown out in court. And so they did get a better version redrafted, and they filed that. Now, when they filed that new version, any previous signatures they had are no longer valid. They start from scratch on their signatures. And so, you know, you have to get about 100,000 to really, you're going to shoot for more like 120, 125,000 signatures to make sure that you, you know, clear the threshold once some of them are disqualified.
And that's something they can, obviously, they're going to do, you know, for to change. That's a statewide thing. They're not just working that in our community. So they're going to need a lot of manpower to do that.
Yes. Signatures have to come. There's like a minimum amount that have to come from at least 15 counties in the state. Primarily, you're going to see that coming out of Pulaski, Washington, and Benton counties. You always see huge numbers come out of those counties. And, you know, there's not people in those counties that necessarily have a reason to just give their time to go out and do this. Like, why do they care about Polk County, right? And so,
because those are the largest population centers in our state, so it's just easier to get signatures.
But you can't only get them from there. They have to come from at least 15 counties.
Yeah.
Now, ballot question committees, once they receive money and start filing, they have to report every month. That's a little different than how candidates are set up. And so they'll be reporting again in March. They're due by the 15th of each month. And I will expect to see some more money from Choctaw at that point, because the press release said that they had already hired some signature collectors.
Gotcha.
And now this was in February, so that could have that wouldn't have been reported yet necessarily.
They'll tell us if we're wrong.
I'm sure. But so I think we're going to see them doing – having more money coming from this. Now we also saw, which we hadn't announced previously, I just pulled it up tonight before we started the show, that there's been a new ballot question committee formed to oppose their efforts.
Okay.
It's called the Arkansas Tourism Alliance, and that was set up by two attorneys, Dustin McDaniel and David Couch, for both represent Cherokee Nation business.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, this doesn't have any finance information on it yet. It just is, you know, who filed the paperwork and what the purpose of it is. And so the Arkansas Tourism Alliance is the ballot question committee that has been proposed, which, you know, kind of gives you the sense that they're going to be talking about this from that angle of how the casino will impact tourism, not only in Polk County, but statewide.
Mm. Mike Goad says, rumor has it that Choctaw has committed $1.3 million to this effort, which is a significant amount of money. Imagine, you know, imagine what that money could do in our community, not just paying legal fees.
Yeah, and, you know, a number like that sounds to me, you know, sounds right to me based on just what it costs typically to run a campaign. To get something on the ballot.
Yeah, and you've mentioned that several times. So how expensive.
That's just to get signatures. Usually, I mean, that's probably not going to cover the cost of an actual campaign. You're looking at, you know, easily upwards of another $1 million, likely, for that.
Yeah.
But it is very interesting to see that, you know, they created this, and then within a few days, we see this Arkansas Tourism Alliance popping up to oppose it. You know, a lot of times you won't see an opposition committee pop up that early. Because they may, you know, they're not even on.
This has been an opposition committee for a long time, so it's just like, well, might as well, you know, solidify
you know, once they announce that they have this money coming in, then, you know, of course you're going to see a response.
Yeah.
And I did think it was really smart from the Fair Play for Arkansas folks to go ahead and put it out in a press release instead of letting it kind of get called out on them.
That was kind of where I was going with my conversation earlier, was like, if they hadn't disclosed it, then I think it might be a little hypocritical and should be, like, I think, be heavily criticized. But since they said, look, we got this money from Choctaw, like, it's kind of hard for me to be agitated with them specifically and call them hypocritical. But I understand that other people do find that hypocritical, you know, yeah. Especially since they're opposed to this thing that, you know, they're trying to keep this thing coming, but they're not opposed to taking the money from another entity that's doing the same thing. They're just not doing that thing in our community.
Well, let me tell you, I would love to chat with them because I bet we could find some common ground on the fact that the process to get signatures and get something on the ballot is so freaking difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And cumbersome that you're just like, the only way you can do this is by accepting money from somebody. Yeah. I mean, it's just insane. Like, it's every year it's gotten more and more difficult. There's new loopholes every time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, our constitution, our federal constitution says that, you know, like, a state cannot decide to, like, you don't lose rights going state from state to state, right? Like, for federal rights. And, you know, there was a measure passed this last session that says that if you live outside of Arkansas, you can't be paid to collect signatures, which seems like it would be a very clear violation
of federal law.
Federal law. But, you know, somebody has to challenge it.
Well, it's just the same. Okay, well, let's just take that same rule and bring it smaller to our state. There's not the same rules county to county. You know, like, you can go buy alcohol 20 minutes away in a different county.
But you don't have that protected.
I know it's not a right necessarily, but, like, there's no more prohibition.
No.
You know, like, federally, there's no more prohibition. But yet, there is in our little community.
This is why Nathan's not running for mayor, because everybody be like, oh, see, he just wants to make it a wet county. Speaking of, our very damp county that we have. what do they call it? A moist county. Mm-hmm. It's a moist mm-hmm. county. I went down to Old Bank before the show and had a beverage and was told it's Mardi Gras. Like, I didn't even know, so I got Mardi Gras beads. I was very well behaved. I didn't do anything to receive them. But it was, so apparently it's Mardi Gras, and folks were celebrating.
But what did you give up for Lent? What are you giving up for Lent? I don't.
I'm not doing Lent.
Okay.
I'm a heathen.
Well.
Are you?
I'll pray for you. let's get some comments. Judy says, Choctaw is only wanting to protect their financial interests. Yes. Why should they be allowed to dictate morals? Yeah, I agree. The same thing with the folks at 101. Yes, donating to stop liquor sales. Very tired of churches and other commercial businesses telling John Q. Public what we can or can't do. I agree with you very wholeheartedly there, Judy. Mike says, a phrase for this kind of cooperation is Baptists and bootleggers getting together to oppose the Wet County Initiative. Yeah, very much.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. You know, it's interesting, in another ballot initiative, there's several circulating for medical marijuana, but the one that's looking, or for recreational marijuana, mm-hmm. To expand to that, but the one that's looking most likely is actually funded by current cultivators, and it would not allow them to add additional cultivators, thereby keeping all of the revenue with the existing cultivators. And so this kind of stuff happens all the time, you know, the groups.
Well, that was the big stink with the, like, there were two different ballot initiatives for medical marijuana, mm-hmm. and the more, I would say, publicly popular one was taken off the ballot, and it allowed for more mm-hmm. Kind of a wider view of what was considered medical marijuana, what the growers, you know, like, there was a lot of details about that one that were more favorable to the public, mm-hmm. But not as favorable to industry.
And they were removed because their signatures were invalidated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
easier to get an amendment to this constitution than something changed in your county. Like, it's easier to change something at the state level than at the local level, which I think is so wrong. Like, we, as much as we hear about local control, I'm going to go on a tirade. If Maddie were here, this would be where the little meter would be going.
We miss Maddie.
So if For all of you who are concerned with local control, this should concern you, which most of you, and when I've had conversations with you about, you know, left versus right or state versus federal, like that's a big issue, local control. Don't tell me what to do in my house. Don't tell me what to do in my town. Don't tell me, well, they're telling you what to do. Like the local control of the casino. Like if we don't have local control over our own issues, like, what's the point of being involved politically if it's harder to get something changed where you are so that the people that live in that space get to make decisions for themselves? I don't think that's right. And I'm pro casino. Like, I'm not necessarily, like, they masked the local control casino issue because they are opposed to the casino. It doesn't matter to them that they have local control. It matters to them that there's not a casino. But it does matter to me to have local control so that I have more of a voice.
I have mixed feelings on that argument.
Yeah.
Not that local control is bad. I agree with you that local control is good in some cases. But a lot of times it's like we want to pick and choose what we can control locally.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of times it comes down to, like, you know, you're, like, for this, like the casino is a good example that, you know, local control of this issue doesn't just impact us locally. It impacts the entire state's economy.
Right, which is why they brought it up as a statewide issue in the origin. But I do have some concerns with how our community was chosen for that statewide initiative in the origin, because there was no like that we didn't get a choice in a general sense. And I'm a pro casino person, so I'm not like mad that we're gonna get one. But what if there was something that, I mean, obviously there are people who are opposed to having the casino.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's a reason that they are frustrated. But what if it was something that I was not happy with? I would, you know, I would be fighting that fight too. You know, if it was something that I wasn't for coming to our community.
I mean, that's what I kind of love about, like, this, though, is, like, you know, at the state level, at the local level, you can take just a few people and, like, really try to change a situation,
mm-hmm.
or a law, or, you know, even the constitution of the state. If you can get some folks together and $1 million.
And $1 million.
Then you can do that. Yeah. But, you know, if you don't want to change the state constitution, it doesn't usually take $1 million. But
right.
You know, getting people together to, like, focus on an issue, especially locally, you know, even if we disagree on it, like, the thing I do love about this is that, like, at least people are wanting to fight for our community.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, even if you disagree with their stance on it, like, I'm glad people give a shit.
When I was on the city council, it always would surprise me that, because, like, it is also partly a generational thing, from kind of Gen X on down, you kind of see a lot more involvement in local activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would see these folks that have been on the city council for like 30 years and they're like, why is everybody so mad? Or what's, you know, what's, like, before nobody cared when we did things. And it was like, yeah, well, now we woke up. We realized we should care, you know.
Yeah.
And we became old enough that it mattered that we cared.
Yeah.
Like,
speaking of, you know, one of the things that got a lot of folks following us and caring about some of the stuff that happens locally was when Dr. Gocher was terminated. So
mm-hmm.
if you weren't on with us at the beginning of the show, we are very excited that we're going to have Dr. Gocher here with us next week.
Super pumped.
To interview and talk about everything that went on and where he's landed and how excited I am to have him over at Darnell, where my kids are in school. It's worked out great. So we're going to have him here next week for a live episode. So make sure you tune in for that.
I think Dr. Gocher is a wonderful human being, and I wish him so much good in his life, and I'm happy to see, you know, from out of the ashes of that situation, maybe some good will come of it.
And I do want to say, you know, before we wrap up, kind of talking about that, with the school board, something that happened while we were out is the school board hired a new superintendent. And I want to say I was very pleased with the process. That they went through the process, they kept it pretty transparent, they took into account what the consultants they brought in said, they didn't just kind of do what they wanted, which I know can be the easy way to go and kind of what we expect to see a lot of times from these small elected boards or whatever, that that they just kind of, you know, expect to operate under the radar and do what they want. But I thought that the school board showed that they were really making an attempt to hear out what people said, to take the feedback from the you know, surveys they sent out and the feedback from the consultants and make sure that they made a good choice. And from everything I've heard, they've made a very, really excellent choice.
Yes, I was happy with the choice specifically, and am excited to see what that transition is going to be like. That just to warn the folks that are on the school board, not in a like threatening way, but like you, this, the lens is still on, like, and so like, don't put your foot in your mouth again over this situation. Like, let's continue that. Like, see how well that worked. See how well it worked to have a mostly transparent process. I mean, everything can't be transparent all the time because you have to make decisions sometimes. But those decisions should be made by the superintendent, not by the school board. Like, if the school board has to make a decision where they have to have a meeting, like, then you probably should let the superintendent make those decisions.
Well, you know,
and
I
discuss
mean,
them afterwards.
I just wanted to give them credit on that because we rip on them a lot. I've personally gone after the interim superintendent for several things on my own Facebook page because apparently the man doesn't know how to keep the quiet parts quiet. He just says them right out loud. But I will say on this, on the hiring, I want to give them credit for that because they did do a really good job of coming back and trying to do that process right.
I was impressed with the process and with the selection. So, yes, next week.
Next week.
Dr. Gocher, we are always looking for sponsors. We got some sponsors for next week's episode. If you are looking for new and fun ways to advertise your business, how much fun would it be to hear me or Kristen say the name of your business over our show like 47 times?
Or if you have a restaurant, you can do it.
And we will eat while we're talking. We'll drink your coffee. we definitely would appreciate the sponsorships. Also, thank you to all of you who are still supporting us on the Patreon and those kind of things. We really appreciate all that you do. We will have this available via podcast very soon. That's pretty much it for me.
That is it for me.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yes, we're excited. Thank you so much. We'll see y'all next week.